Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
On August 18th, our local paper, The Derrick, led with this title, Plan Presented for Sustainable Prosperity. Well, that immediately got my attention, so I read down through the article, and it was all about a consideration for a three-year Sustainable Communities Planning Grant from the Department of Transportation, the EPA, and HUD. The grant was in cooperation with all three of those federal agencies. The article was saying that it could help establish the region as an ecotourism, heritage tourism destination. More phrases caught my eye. Investigate the possibilities for an approach to economic development that would balance financial progress with environmental and social concerns. And then there was talk about the region's unique natural, historical, cultural, architectural, geologic, and recreational assets. And when it came to Marcellus Shale production here in the county, the paper said it was, quote, an important dimension of the community's future, unquote, but one requiring collaborative, creative approaches. And this grant would permit stakeholders at all levels, municipalities, planners, economic development agencies, private businesses, recreational groups, and community members to investigate the possibilities for an approach to economic development. I said, whoa. Immediately thought of Agenda 21. I thought it's coming to Venango County. So I checked out our county website, and boy, was I surprised. Tom DeWeese is with the American Policy Center. He's my guest today, and he'll help dissect what it was that I found on the Venango County website. Thanks, Tom, for being with us.
Hey, it's good to be with you. Thank you.
Because I was blown away. It's not that Agenda 21 is coming to Venango County. It's here already. At least that's the way I interpreted what I found on the website. This is someone I found. I found that we had a planning commission, and it's actually been around for quite a while. And its purpose, in its own words, quote, it is our strong belief that improving the quality of planning in Venango County will not only assist municipalities in the day-to-day functions related to subdivision, land development, and grant applications, but will also provide long-term benefits in terms of obtaining grants, providing realistic opportunities for economic development, and working with communities to protect their built and natural environments, unquote. What does that mean?
What that means
That's their stated goal, and how are they going to attain it?
Now, first of all, by the time this is made the news, as you're reading it, it's already a done deal.
Yeah.
It's been done in the back rooms. You've got every catchword that exists for sustainable development, Agenda 21, the grants, the cooperative and creative, the stakeholders, all of that. What that means is a group of non-governmental organizations, groups like the American Planning Association and the Sierra Club and probably a whole host of others down below that, have gotten together and they have worked behind the scenes. They've already shown your elected officials where grant money is available. They may be talking about, you know, getting the grant money just to revitalize downtown, you know, things like this. The trouble is that that money comes with massive strings attached, and those strings are going to force the community to do several things that will affect every single person in the community. It will affect how development is done. It will set guidelines and probably quotas or measuring sticks for energy use. Everything connected with sustainable development leads to higher prices, sacrifices, and shortages. They talk about prosperity in there for the community. How?
Mm-hmm.
How do you get prosperity when your businesses are so severely curtailed that their ability to hire new people, their ability to grow, their ability to produce products are severely curtailed, and these stakeholders, these self-proclaimed gods over the whole community, are going to make these decisions, and they have a very specific political agenda, and your elected officials are going to become little more than a rubber stamp to the creation of non-elected boards, councils, regional governments, and every time, these are the ones that are going to make the regulations, and every time you have a problem, where normally you would go to your councilman, go to your commissioner, mm-hmm. and ask them for help or listen to me about how this is affecting me, they're going to say, well, you need to talk to this planning association.
Right.
You need to talk to this council or this government or agency.
And the planning commission, as you're mentioning, that is a non-elected body.
Yeah. Are these people? How
do
they get on there?
Exactly. So it raises all sorts of questions. And I'm looking at a Department of Transportation, Housing and Urban Development, and Environmental Protection Agency. Those three agencies, I can't imagine the number of strings attached from each of those agencies to that grant.
Yeah. Let me go through, if I may, and just tell you how. I mean, we talk about this coming from the United Nations, Agenda 21. They scoff at it all the time. They say, no, this is just local development programs, and that's all we're doing here. I don't know where you get these crazy ideas, you really crazy fringe fanatics. I mean, that's what we hear all the time. Here's how this happens. First of all, prior to 1992, hundreds of non-governmental organizations that are sanctioned by the United Nations, and I say that meaning that these organizations had to fill in an application to be recognized by the United Nations as a non-governmental organization to be able to participate in these international meetings. Once that's done, they come together behind the scenes, and all these groups with their political agendas begin to write documents. Sometimes these documents become treaties. Sometimes they are what are called soft law documents, meaning that they are suggestions or blueprints for countries to follow, but they don't have the rule of law. They came together prior to 1992 and created several different documents, one being the Biodiversity Treaty, the other being what we now know as Agenda 21. The Biodiversity Treaty is a treaty. Agenda 21 is not. It's a soft law policy. These NGO organizations developed these documents and then, in 1992, had the Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro, where world leaders, all world leaders practically from around the world, came to participate. George H.W. Bush signed agreement to Agenda 21 saying the United States would participate in this. We approved of it.
That was in 1992.
That was in 1992.
Okay.
That brought it to the federal bureaucracy, where the bureaucracy through the cabinet, through the various agencies, began to create policy. They would do it through executive order, so forth. Then President Clinton came in a year later and signed an executive order to create the President's Council on Sustainable Development. And on this council were some of the very same NGO organizations that helped write Agenda 21 in the first place. And what happens is, as it pushes through our government, and because Agenda 21 isn't a treaty, and it has it go through our regular channels of legislation, that's what makes it very difficult to follow, to say, oh, this is, you know, what comes down to local,
because
your local council.
You're right, it's not titled Agenda 21. It just has the buzzwords that I found in the article.
Yeah.
And people don't, and I did a lot more digging once that article appeared in the paper, and I went onto the county website. But, yeah, it's just amazing. So in 92 is when George H.W. Bush signed, what was it exactly signed onto?
Well, Agenda 21.
Okay, Agenda 21. I was wondering if it was a different name. Okay.
Yeah, he just basically agreed.
And it's a soft law policy. So what they're doing is actually in the works for sure around the country.
Yeah.
They are, through the local governments, they're actually, the federal government is offering grants such as here, which I think the grant proposal here is dead. But around the country, they're offering this money. The feds are offering this money for communities for quote-unquote economic development and sustainable development and sustainable communities, all nice-sounding stuff. So local communities are doing it for the money that they'll get to do these things.
Well, again, as it goes through the process, these same NGOs helped, they got involved with the writers of the legislation and getting involved in the offices, the staffs of congressmen and so forth. They began to put these things together, and they created these grants. The same NGO groups who helped write it in the first place then went to state legislatures and said, there's grant money available if you will do this. And that resulted in almost every state now passing legislation that requires local communities to do comprehensive development plans and establish grant money to help them do that. Then the same NGO groups go into the local community and say, hey, there's grant money available for you to do this, this, and this. And they drink the poison and all the strings attached, mm-hmm. and there it is. So that's the process, and it's very difficult to point out step by step to connect the dots from the UN's Agenda 21 to your local community, but that's the process.
That's the process itself. Yeah, some of the stuff I found on the website, the comprehensive plan, and I remember this stuff from the last time I interviewed you, I think it was in August, comprehensive plan. Up on the county website, and it's current, I mean, the current one is 2004, but the executive summary itself is 42 pages long. And the only way you can get a copy of the entire volume is to contact the Planning Commission. I think executive summary is 42 pages long. How monstrous is the entire comprehensive plan? I mean, it boggles my mind that Little Venango County has a 42-page executive summary for our comprehensive plan.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're talking about parks and open space plan. This is all on the Venango County website. Concept plans. Well, currently, there are six in the county. Subdivision and land development. Now, right now, the Planning Commission is working on an update for this subdivision and land development ordinance. We're looking at Community Development Block Grant Program, and this really blew me away. Regional Greenways Plan gives the timeline, and there's updated maps, talking about population density, cultural and historic resources, natural and infrastructure inventory, ecological infrastructure, recreation opportunities, natural system greenways, National Heritage Inventory Plants and Species List, and the Natural Heritage Inventory. Like, when did all this happen? When did they do these studies? When did they do all these, you know, go around and count all the plants and animals in the entire county?
You will probably find out they've never done that study.
Okay.
These are boilerplates. What was it? Somebody said to me that it was a plan in a box. You know, it comes in a box to them, and here's the whole thing. That happens many times. And you'll find, in many cases, they try to make this one-size-fits-all thing. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
There is no one-size-fits-all. Right. But what's going to happen is farmers are going to have a great difficulty now in trying to grow their crops and have their livestock with these regulations. You'll find if you have a home that along a stream or any kind of a waterfront, you may not be able to even use your yard. There are regulations that get so ridiculous that they even talk about a plow cutting the land is damaging to Mother Earth. You know, it gets that ridiculous. But you'll find that start having energy audits that will begin to dictate regulations on what you have to do to your home to make it environmentally sound and to cut back on your carbon footprint and all of these kind of things. And it's the stakeholders sitting behind the scenes, not out in the open, not open to debate, not open to discussion, they are just deciding. And there's no way for you to stand up and oppose this.
Because you'll be pictured as someone out there in outer space.
Yeah.
You'll be pictured as someone who doesn't know what they're talking about. I mean,
yeah.
you're the perfect example, because I know that's what they've been doing to you for years as you've tried to expose this. Finally, people are beginning to wake up.
Well, it is, and that's the interesting thing. I mean, I have spent the morning printing out reports that I'm getting from around the world, particularly from England as well as from the United States, where people are beginning to stand up to this and find the total fallacies in this. The whole idea of cutting your carbon footprint, it's all based on the whole issue of global warming.
Right.
And the reports are pouring in that global warming, man-made global warming, is the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on humankind, and all these policies are based on that. If you take that equation out of it, then you find there's no reason to do any of this stuff. The other way that they try to sell it, they hate urban sprawl.
Yeah.
They paint these horrible pictures of development going on and on and on, out and out and out, strip malls and filling stations and all this. Well, you know what? These are kind of the things people need to relive their lives.
Exactly.
Some of the very people who are opposing the whole urban sprawl thing are living in their new houses and new neighborhoods. They're calling people on their cell phones, which need new cell towers, to call people to organize, to go down to city council to support these programs
so nobody
else can have it.
Yeah.
You know, the NIMBYs, not in my backyard, the bananas build absolutely nothing anywhere near anything, and the greens. That's what's behind this, and it doesn't make sense for the economy. It doesn't make sense for the environment. It's a disaster for both. Yet this is the mantra, and this is the globally acceptable truth. This is what we're going to do, no matter whether you like it or not, no matter whether it makes sense, no matter whether it's bankrupting the country, we're going to do it anyway.
Agenda 21, the whole thing has been around, especially here in the States, since 92 when the first Bush signed onto it. Again, it's, how would you put it, a soft law policy?
Soft law policy, yeah.
And, you know, we've seen, so this has been around for actually almost 20 years now.
This particular thing, there were things leading up to it. There were pieces and parts that go clear back into the 70s. You can probably find even some of them in the 60s. The plan has been for a top-down control. The United Nations calls it the global commons, and they believe it is their right to control the entire world and decide everything that goes on inside. Of course, they want the global economy. They want to tax the global economy so that they have unlimited funds. It's where we talk about the globalists and that sort of thing.
And yeah, there has been talk about global tax. I mean, just within the last year, there's been some talk about global tax and such as that. But do you think that the whole global warming thing is an effort to accelerate Agenda 21? Because you're talking about, you know, a carbon footprint and such as that. So do you think that that's part of or just a new strategy to push this whole UN takeover?
You know, they've discussed among themselves about how to do that UN takeover, how to make that central controlled economy. And, you know, here was the United States was a problem. It's the only nation on earth based on the idea of limited government, free enterprise, private property rights, and individual rights. The only nation on earth that is based on that idea, and that our Constitution was designed to keep government small and out of our lives so we could achieve our goals and so forth. Everywhere else, government says, here's what your rights are. In our country, we say our rights are already ours, and government's job is to protect them.
Right.
So how do you take this crazy country, which is the only superpower left in the world, and get it to accept all these ideas, harmonize the United States into the rest of the world? Well, the way they came up with was environmental Armageddon, that you had to give up your liberties, you had to give up all these silly American ideas, because if you don't, the planet was going to be destroyed. And then we had nowhere else to go if you did that. That was the argument. That's what they've been pushing ever since, and they continue to push that. Even though we find, day in and day out, not only is that not true, but worse, most of their ideas are probably more damaging to the environment than...
Yeah.
Their number one premise is that man is not part of the ecology. So anything man does damages the environment.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started in this, working in this and trying to expose the radical agenda of the environmental movement, they started calling us the AstroTurf crowd that wanted to pave the earth. That's what they accused us of.
So Nancy Pelosi didn't think up that word all by herself?
Nah, it's been around a while. But here's the interesting thing about that. Let's take their number one project right now that they're doing, alternative energy, windmill, wind power. This is what you're hearing everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Well, first of all, windmills are probably the most unsustainable form of energy of all time. It probably takes more energy to produce these massive windmills and their distribution system than that windmill will ever produce in its lifetime.
Yeah, and I know that there's been a lot of trouble in England with their windmill farms.
We only have about 1% of our energy is coming from these things. They're so totally unreliable.
Yeah.
The other thing is, if you wanted to make up just the shortage of energy in the state of California through wind power, you would need an area the size of Connecticut to do that. And what would you have to do? You would have to clear cut everything and pave an area the size of Connecticut just to make up the shortage of electricity in California. So in order to have wind power as a viable alternative, you would have to have such a huge mass of America paved.
Paved, and I thought that was a big no-no, I thought.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's the AstroTurfers here?
Yeah, and the other thing with them is that because it's such unsustainable power, that when the wind isn't blowing, they have to kick in with more
electricity,
you know, coal or fossil-driven. So they're not accomplishing anything.
Yeah. I know down in Somerset County, they have a lot. That's just southeast of here. And they have quite a few windmill things, whatever they're called. Those great big humongous things.
Yeah. Sure.
And I know there's been complaints.
Permit.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And there's been complaints about they kill the bats. You know, bats can't hear them, I guess, or whatever,
yeah.
And they kill the bats and such.
Yeah.
But that's the one county here in Western Pennsylvania that has a lot of those turbines. And in fact, within Jones Throw, practically the Flight 93 Memorial, there are a lot of those wind turbines.
Yeah, they're actually, it's fun to watch because there's actually a war in the environmental movement now. The Audubon Society hates those wind turbines. They call them Cuisinarts in the air.
Oh, my goodness.
because they're killing...
They're killing eagles.
They're killing... Yeah.
I'd heard about the bats, but...
The more you have, the more... I mean, birds will never be able to fly again if wind power...
That's for sure. Yeah. It'll be like a running through the gauntlet to try to get through those things.
Exactly.
So there's a war going on between the Audubon Society and the ones who are pushing the wind...
Yeah.
The wind turbines.
There are several of these kinds of little battles. And when the environmental movement gets what they want, they suddenly realize, oops,
we never want this. And that's the scary part. But in the meantime, we have homeowners and business owners who, here in the county, talking specifically about Venango County here in western Pennsylvania, who I think the majority of them have no idea that this is even, you know, on the county website, that this is even in the thoughts of anyone here in the county. And... You know, and I followed this kind of stuff pretty closely, and I didn't follow it closely enough, did I? But are there other municipalities who have said no more?
Oh, yeah. It is growing by leaps and bounds. This has been an incredible year. I've worked on this issue for over 18 years, and I have never seen anything like this year.
Fantastic.
I can't keep up with it. It started in January in Carroll County, Maryland, with a courageous county commissioner there. He just got elected and took office in January, along with four other commissioners, all brand new on the county. And he was able to teach them and educate them about this. And when they took office, within 1 month, they did three things. One, they fired the sustainable development director that the county had hired to promote these kind of things. The second thing was they ended their membership in an organization called ICLEI, the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives. ICLEI helped write Agenda 21 and made it its mission to go into communities around the world to promote it and push it. And this is where a lot of this comes from.
That's one of those NGOs.
It's one of the NGOs, one of the main ones.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and they were in 600 American cities, including Carroll County, Maryland. They rejected that. The third thing they did was they met with the County Planning Commission for the first time. And these guys were used to having the usual, we're all on the same board, wink, wink kind of thing.
Right.
And they start reading this agenda that they were putting together. And Richard Rothschild sat there and he said, what about property rights?
Yeah.
And they said, what property rights?
Yeah.
And he said, people live in these areas you're trying to clear out and have open space and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so one thing led to another, and they rejected the planning board comprehensive development plan they were putting together, and they said, bring it back to us when it protects private property rights and it's constitutional.
Wow.
And this started, now we've gone from Carroll County, Maryland, the next was Amador County, California, then Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, then
Montgomery County, okay.
And again, this is only the first step. Getting rid of ICLEI is just a shot across their bow. This doesn't get rid of the program, but it's a start. Edmond, Oklahoma, Las Cruces, New Mexico, Spartanburg, South Carolina, Albemarle County, Virginia, the home of Thomas Jefferson.
Plantation,
yeah, you would. Plantation, Florida, James City County, Virginia, where Jamestown, the first settlement in America, started. And most recently, Lexington, Virginia, have also stood up. I'm getting other reports here from around the country. I got three or four more communities here from Washington State.
That is fantastic. So people are waking up, and that's great. Now, if people wanted to get more information about this whole Agenda 21 thing, the sustainable development, and what they can do about it, how can they do that?
They can go to my website, AmericanPolicy.org. I have several sections there. Click on issues.
Issues, okay.
Agenda 21 comes up, and there's all kinds of information there.
Okay. And I got a copy of your new book. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I would encourage folks to get a copy of it. I flipped through it, but not, you know, read it extensively. But Now Tell Me I Was Wrong is the title of your new book.
That title came along after I wrote about all these things in the past, and people derided us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now it's coming out in the forefront, so I came up with that title. Now Tell
Me. Yeah, it's very appropriate. So I encourage folks to go to your website, AmericanPolicy.org, to take a look and possibly get a copy of your book, too. That'd be great, because that will really help them see how this has all come about, what you've gone through, and trying to expose this. So I encourage, again, folks to go to AmericanPolicy.org, and thank you, Tom, for sticking with this for 18 years until finally the country's waking up.
Hey, I've never been more energized or more excited
Fantastic.
About our prospects.
Okay, take care.
Thank you.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in defending traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA at Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, 16323, or visit their website at afafpa.org. The views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of American Family Radio, Lighthouse Ministries of Franklin, AFA, and AFAFPA.